Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I think this will be the storm of our lifetimes. The odds are just increasing. We don't see any way to avoid an absolutely extreme event, a hurricane that we have not seen in a couple of centuries along the East Coast. I cannot say strongly enough that all action is required.
Still a big storm by all accounts, even with a little bit of weakening. It is still a very large storm.
We've been hearing reports tonight of people saying that the storm was not as bad as it could have been. That may be true.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, I just want to thank you, my friend, for the wonderful, incredible honor of filling in for you today. Michael, if you're out there, if you've survived the storm, if you're somehow still standing, I just want to thank you. I barely did it. I don't know how I got through. It was touch and go there for a while. But go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest that is out there in terms of the big issues, the big stories. Really, michaelsavage.com, you have everything you need. And really, what is the big issue right now but the non-hurricane Hurricane Irene? And I have to say, the media hyped this story all week. Maryland, where I live, parts of it were evacuated. New Jersey, parts of it were evacuated. New York City, parts of it were evacuated. This was going to be another Hurricane Katrina, maybe the mother of all storms. And yet, there was one man, one talk show host, one major media figure. I have to give him full kudos now. And I'm not just saying that because I'm filling in for him. The facts are the facts. There was one man who said, don't believe the hype. This thing is being overly hyped and overly dramatized by the mandarins in the media. And that person was Dr. Michael Savage. Boys, roll it.
Again, the storm. Every minute the storm. It's already losing power already. Veering off to sea. I mean, let's hope it veers off to sea. Doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong, but what's the hysteria again? I've been in America many decades. I remember hurricanes, storms, tornadoes. I have never seen such hysteria in my life. Every second, another moron telling us they're going to close this down, close that down, stay home, don't go to work. My father used to go to work with 4-foot drifts. Somehow he'd get into Manhattan and go to work. If he couldn't take his car, he took the subway. Now the idiot closed the subway. He went to work. He had to go to work. There was no government sending him a paycheck. If he didn't go to work and open his little store, there was no money coming in. And we wouldn't have eaten. Wouldn't have paid the mortgage. Wouldn't have kept the junior in school. But no, not today. Everything closed down in the ninny state. Well, look at the shore they're showing on Fox News. Perfectly calm. You could walk on the beach with your girlfriend and a dog. You could throw a frisbee on the beach now. But they're showing it as though a storm just hit. I never saw anything like this. Insanity.
I got it. I mean, he nailed it. The guy absolutely nailed it. That's what I was telling my wife all weekend. I said, what storm? What are these people talking about? I mean, I was at my local Safeway. This was the day before the storm hit. Okay? It was a rainstorm. That's what it was. It was heavy rains and some wind. We didn't have power for maybe 8 hours in my house. That's it. Okay? A little power outage. One day before the storm hit, I'm at my local grocery store at my Safeway. They've run out of water. They've run out of milk. They've run out of bread. They've run out of batteries. They've run out of everything. The lines are so long, they're almost going outside the doors. There was one case of water left. I saw two elderly women fighting over that case. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. They're tearing apart the plastic on the case. I swear, I thought an invasion was coming. You would think the Russians were coming. You would think the Mujahideen were coming, the way these people were hyping this story up. I have never seen a greater media non-story than this. I mean, and then after I'm looking at this, I go, my God, it's just a lousy tropical storm. That's all. Within 24 hours, it's gone. In fact, in my area, it was beautiful the next day. The sun was out, no problem. Okay, there were some leaves, some branches on the ground. Okay, some people didn't have power. That was already restored within 12 hours. No problem. During the height of the storm, there's Geraldo Rivera, the guy who is in the Middle East, the guy who's in Iraq, the guy who's in Israel when the war with Lebanon. He's there in the middle of New York City. And he's like reporting like literally from the danger zone. It's raining. That's it. It was just rain falling down on him. And he's reporting about the Hurricane Irene now battering New York City, ramming New York City, overrunning New York City. And then there's that silver-haired guy, Anderson Cooper. This guy's good for a couple laughs. I swear to you. He's in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, great thing. The Arab Spring, there he is with his silver hair. Libya, great thing. The Islamists have taken over Libya. Great thing with his silver hair. He's there now, one of these coastal cities. The CNN news anchor says, Anderson, you're in the eye of the storm. He's like, really? Yeah, you're in the eye of the storm. Even he couldn't hype this storm up. He's like, it's just raining. That's all it is. So we have a rainstorm, which now becomes the equivalent of Hurricane Katrina. And the question you have to ask yourself, members of the Savage Nation, why? Why did the media hype this story up? Why? For a whole week, storm this, storm that, wind this, wind that, evacuation this, evacuate that. My God, it's like the plague. It's like biblical. It's like Noah's Ark. It's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. This could be the end. This could be the end. Why? And I believe the major reason is this. The liberal mainstream media saw their president in Martha's Vineyard. They saw Obama in Martha's Vineyard. And they saw his poll numbers tanking. And the American people saw clearly, with unemployment skyrocketing, with inflation now being unleashed, with now a debt that is strangling our country, investment confidence down, consumer confidence down, the stock market melting, people now talking about a double dip recession, maybe even a depression, his poll numbers dropping and plummeting like a stone. He's in trouble, and he's partying it up in Martha's Vineyard. Beautiful 20-acre villa that he rented for he and Michelle. They fly in on two separate jets like Roman emperors and Roman empresses. Standing there, golfing, basketball, shrimp, barbecue, lobsters, champagne, you name it, he's eating it or playing it. And the American people are suffering. And so they changed the narrative. Did you notice? It was no longer Obama on vacation. Now it was the storm of the century. The storm of the century. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is running out, evacuating parts of New York. Subways have to be shut down, bus stations, trains. The whole city has to come to a standstill. It's going to be an apocalypse. It's Armageddon. And they were trying to show the contrast. If you notice the media narrative between Obama and Bush, they're trying to prop him up, not just cover up for him, but prop him up. This was going to be another Hurricane Katrina. That was the implication. Floods, waters rising, bodies in the streets. We had to evacuate. Everybody had to leave. And so now, if you've noticed, Obama came back a day early. He cut his 10-day vacation short. Literally, what he ate himself. He basically ate himself into indigestion. I can't eat anymore. I can't play anymore. I don't know what to do anymore. Well, Mr. President, why don't you go back to Washington and look presidential? Okay, I'll do that. let me look presidential. So they send him to the Hurricane Command Center. And now he's Churchill. Now he stood up to this storm, Hurricane Katrina. He's showing bold leadership. And it could have been so much worse. So much worse. We could have had hundreds, if not thousands, dead had Obama not taken control and coordinated FEMA. That's the media narrative. They now have to prop him up and make him seem like literally the second coming of Churchill. You see, Bush presided over a disaster with Hurricane Katrina. But look at Obama. Magnificent leadership, bold leadership, courageous leadership. He took control of the Hurricane Command Center, and together they beat back this storm. He was yelling with his hand out against the winds, against the gusts. This is how desperate the media is to prop up their sham president in the White House. And look at how Obama hyped the storm himself. It wasn't just the weather forecasters. It wasn't just Fox, CNN, MS, Left, BC. I know why the networks do it. They want to dramatize anything to get more eyeballs. That's their goal. Their goal is to drive up ratings, to scare you, to create hysteria and fear. So the more drama, the more frightening the scenario. We got to stay glued. We got to watch. This has got to be a second by second. This could be the end. Little Jimmy could be taken away in the floods. The whole house could come crashing down with all these winds. But look at Obama. Look what he was saying. Boys, roll clip 4.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane. Although we can't predict with perfect certainty the impact of Irene over the next few days, the federal government has spent the better part of last week working closely with officials in communities that could be affected by this storm to see to it that we are prepared.
Yep. This is going to be historic. It's even going to be bigger than Hurricane Katrina. He deliberately hyped up this hurricane and this storm to make himself seem stronger, more in command, and presidential. And so my question to all of you is a simple one, members of the Savage Nation. Do you think the media overhyped the story? Why do you think they did it? And what did the storm, how did it impact you? What was the impact of the storm upon your life? Were you happy with the way the government authorities handled it? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The conditions here continue to deteriorate in a big way. The waves are crashing up against the seawall. It's developing this foam that is riding over the top and starting to stick to all the hotels and buildings right along the boardwalk here. Excuse me, it's in my face as well. As you can imagine, it doesn't taste great.
I don't know how he survived. I don't know how he survived. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off today, but I'll be filling in for him for the whole show. Here was the non-hurricane. I mean, here you have these media people. Here's one of them trying to make it seem like this is the end of the world. This is the second coming of Hurricane Katrina. And the best he can come up with, there's white foam. And some of it got in his mouth. I mean, look, Ocean City, which is about 2 hours from where I live. Yes, they got some heavy winds. Yes, they got some heavy rain. But I have to tell you the truth. I mean, this to me was nothing more than a tropical storm. The Northeast got hit with a tropical storm. It's like the earthquake the week before, or a couple days before, actually. I mean, I'm in my office, minding my own business. I hear the walls are shaking, the desk is shaking. I'm like, oh my God, this is an earthquake. And it's passed, it's over. I go out, I see my neighbors. They're all over the street. People are crying. I have a neighbor in front of me, I kid you not, wailing, weeping, inconsolable. 3 hours she stood on her steps. She wouldn't get into the house. She's like, oh my God, I'm so afraid. The walls were shaking. Well, yes, it's an earthquake. Walls shake. What do you think? You think the earth is not supposed to move now when it's an earthquake? I mean, and then government workers in D.C., I couldn't believe it. For 24, 48, 72 hours, they didn't go to work. They had to shut down the government buildings. Oh, it's too risky. 5.8 magnitude quake. God forbid we should go back to work. God forbid we should go work. We are becoming a nation of wimps. And the con man in chief was trying to turn this into literally the return of Noah's Ark. Here is Obama in his own words. It's going to be a long 72 hours. I don't know how we survived it. Boys, clip 17.
It's going to be a long 72 hours. And obviously a lot of families are going to be affected. So this is still obviously going to be a touch and go situation for a lot of communities. But knowing that they've got an outstanding response team like this makes all the difference in the world.
Makes all the difference. I mean, it's touch and go. It's life and death. The country's future, fate hung in the balance. But there was the dear leader when he made those statements on the Hurricane Command Center, because he took charge. You see, the dear leader, the Lenin, he took charge and he tamed the elements. Remember what he said during the 2008 campaign. He was going to prevent the ocean levels from rising. He was going to bring peace between Islam, the Muslim world, and the West. He was going to end poverty as we know it. He was going to do all of that. So, of course, you see, you have to understand the media narrative. It would have been Hurricane Katrina. It would have been a mass devastation. It would have been many people dead. But Obama took charge. Obama saved us. You see, you don't realize it. You don't understand this. But you actually have the greatest president of all time. He can actually command the winds. He can command the rain. He said, no. No hurricane, tropical storm only. I wave my finger. I leave my vacation palace at the Martha's Vineyard with Michelle Obama spending $10 million on vacations. And we come back and I wave my finger and I say, no, no, it's only going to be a tropical storm. And he saved us. Aren't you grateful to have such a great president? Aren't you that? I know I am. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane.
Town, hold on. We got to move up the shore a little bit. We got some waves coming right up to our feet. Whoop. Excuse us as we dance around this.
Like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, got really bad. Windows were like buckling. It was.
You said your girlfriend even at one point suggested possibly leaving.
Let's go.
We
had a little
party. Why did you stay?
I just wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. I really didn't think it was going to be bad. It was about a handful of us that stayed and hung out in the back and had a little party.
Yeah, they had a little party. They had a little party. That's it. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Go to michaelsavage.com. Go to your phone calls in a second, but there is a story. Just want to quickly tease it. We'll get to it a little bit later in the show, but it's a stunning story. It's on michaelsavage.com. Tony Blair's sister-in-law. This is the sister-in-law of one of Britain's most influential and consequential prime ministers. Has attended a rally in England. A pro-Muslim, anti-Israel rally. Calling upon radical Islam to, quote, liberate Jerusalem. To wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. This is the prime minister's sister-in-law. You're going to tell me there's not a radical Islam problem in England and in Europe and in the West? And to me, what is remarkable is that Laura Booth, that's the prime minister's sister-in-law, that's her name. Laura Booth, she's a very respected person in England. She gets on a lot of talk shows. She's on a lot of media interviews. But Michael Savage, he's banned. No, Michael Savage, that's too dangerous. Michael Savage, be careful now. Be careful if you allow Michael Savage to enter England. Who knows? It could be another. It could be another Hurricane Irene. The whole island could be flooded. It could be washed over in hatred and intercommunal violence. But her, Laura Booth, no. Come on, just wipe Israel off the map. Just quote, liberate Jerusalem, conquer Jerusalem. That's all we're asking for. Wipe the Jews. That's all. That's it. That's what passes for acceptable speech in England. That's your modern England today, my friends. Let's go to Deborah in Ohio on line three. Deborah, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Mr. Cooner. It's a privilege to talk to you. I'm a Hurricane Hugo survivor. Hurricane Hugo, I'm just going to look at some facts here. I just want everyone to look at some facts, okay? September 21st, 1989, Hurricane Hugo hit South Carolina. Originally projected to hit Savannah, Georgia, did a little dog leg, okay, and turned up and smashed the coast of South Carolina at a 90-degree angle with a well-defined eye, okay? It was a Category 4, slammed the coast at 135 miles per hour. Now, the reason that Dr. Savage was right and the reason that you're right is because you were tracking the storm. If you looked at it, the closer that Irene got to the coast, the weaker that eye got, to the point where it absolutely disappears. So it was all exaggerated. It was
Deborah. No, you nailed it. I mean, this was exaggerated, overly dramatized, and overly hyped. I was looking at the models. I was looking at the tracking. First, it was Category 3. Then it's Category 2. Then it's Category 1. And then it eventually became a tropical storm. What is a tropical storm? It rains a lot. And it's a, 20-25 mile an hour winds. In some parts, it was even 16, 15 miles an hour. So, yeah, you had a few branches down, some power outages. Okay, we lost power at 7 in the evening Saturday when it hit Maryland at my house. By the next day, we had power. Honestly, I had a nice romantic night with my wife. We chatted. We spoke till about 1 in the morning. I realized this was going to be nothing. The roof was not going to collapse. Trees weren't going to be falling all over the place. My basement wasn't going to be flooded. I wasn't going to be washed away. I wasn't going to be killed. But if you listen to the thing is, this is what the people in the mainstream media don't understand. What happens when there's another Hurricane Hugo? What happens when there's another real Hurricane Katrina? What happens when there's a real Category 2 or 3 or 4, God forbid, Category 5 hurricane that's coming upon landfall? Then what's going to happen? What are people going to say? Oh, look at them with Hurricane Irene, crying wolf. They're telling us the sky's going to fall and people aren't going to listen. What the mainstream media doesn't understand is that they are losing their credibility and their integrity and their believability every day. We know they're in the tank for Obama. We figured that out already. We know they're in the tank for the Democrats. But now, even weather has to become politicized. Sports has to become politicized. Have you noticed every aspect of our life now has to be politicized? Everything, even weather. So even now, we have to have these so-called weathermen and weatherwomen, these anchors, going on about the sky's falling, it's Armageddon, it's apocalypse, it's Noah's Ark. It's going to rain and rain and rain, and who knows? It's going to blow the Capitol away. It's going to blow New York away. It's going to blow the Empire State Building away. It's all going to be blown away. Be careful. Be careful. So what they're desperately trying to do is, one, which is to me very obvious, create a story where there is none to get more attention and more audience. But the bigger story, and there's no question about it, we have become a nation of wimps. We cannot endure any suffering. What Michael Savage was completely right. What his father, what my father, what his grandfather, what my grandfather considered nothing, a rainstorm, I'm going to go to work, it shuts down New York. Hey, guys, I mean, think about this. A tropical storm shut down the financial center of America. A dinky 5.5 magnitude earthquake. No one got hurt in the earthquake. Not even one building collapsed in the earthquake. It shut down Washington, D.C. Government buildings closed. Pentagon closed. White House closed. Congress closed. And they don't come back for days. Now, I ask you, we are the modern-day Roman Empire. We are the modern-day Rome of the Roman Empire. The world looks to us. How do you think our soldiers feel? I mean, have you even thought of this? Our soldiers feel in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're facing shrapnel. They're facing grenades. They're facing bullets. They're facing IEDs. They're being shot at every day. And a little tropical storm and we're all in a panic? A little earthquake and suddenly it's the end of the world? because the media is based in New York and in Washington. And they got petrified. These little liberal cowards, a little storm, and suddenly they're panicking. And they see their president in the Oval, in Martha's Vineyard, and they're saying, oh my God, if this becomes the storm of the century, if this becomes another Hurricane Katrina, compare it to Bush. He'll look like a statesman. He'll look like a leader. He'll look like Harry Truman. The buck stops with him. We can actually resurge his poll numbers. We can turn it all around and make this guy win re-election in 2012. They're petrified that this man is going to get shellacked in the next election. So what did they do? They fabricated hysteria. They fabricated a false crisis. But what happens when there's a real crisis? What happens the next time when there's a real hurricane, category 2, 3, 4? No one's going to listen. No one's going to pay attention. That's why the big loser of all of this is the media, because they've lost all credibility. They are digging their own graves and they don't even know it. Leon in Las Vegas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yep. Jeff, thank you very much for taking my call. And the hysteria hype worked. I was in New York City on vacation, and the girls went in their room and made the mistake, and they turned on the news. And they come out with pale faces saying, we got to get the heck out of Dodge. So I'm living in Las Vegas. We did a 48-hour trek from Las Vegas because our flight was canceled. The subways were shut down. The whole city was shut down. All the girls, all they could think about was this mayhem that was going to occur, just carnage in the streets, according to that. You should have seen them come in from the room. They were just all, so rather than sit there and I just said, well, let's go, okay, because of what they had experienced with that, I wasn't going to. So the media has a huge responsibility, and the airlines and the mayor of New York, They're all culpable of all this hysteria that went on, when you could obviously see, like I said, I was sitting there watching it, how it was downgrading and to that status. But, you know, once you get members of your family that all of a sudden that are looking at a Katrina, and there's no reason.
It's panic. No, you're right. There's no reason. I mean, that's the point. It's panic. And I experienced that firsthand. I had my sister-in-law call me every hour for 48 hours. Why aren't you leaving? Are you boarding up the house? Like, boarding up the house? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you evacuating? What do you mean evacuate? What's wrong with you people? Have you lost your minds? We've lost all common sense, because she's watching television. She's watching Fox. She's watching CNN. She's watching the Weather Channel. She's reading the newspaper. She's like, oh my God, this is the storm of the century. It's the sky's going to fall. This is going to be the end. Jeff, she calls me up, my sister-in-law, who's my wife's older sister. She's like, get my sister out of that house. Like, somehow I'm abandoning my wife. I'm threatening my wife. I'm putting my wife's life on the line by not leaving and fleeing the house. I'm like, no, I'm not going to leave the house. What are you, crazy? What are you people, nuts? But this is what they do. And so this panic feeds on itself. And so Bloomberg panicked. The airlines panicked. Everybody panicked. Obama panicked. See, that's the thing. He panicked. If this guy can't handle a lousy tropical storm, you think he can handle Iraq? You think he can handle Afghanistan? You think he can handle China? You think he can handle the economic implosion that's taking place in America? This guy, you see, the media thinks that they have turned him into a Churchill, a leftist, a liberal Churchill, a socialist Churchill. They've just revealed him for the joke that he is. Andrew in Indiana, my mistake. Andrew on line 4, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. Listen, you know, I agree with you 100% about the political issue. There's another thing that I'd like to point out to tie this together, and why what I think may also have contributed to just a global shutdown of functioning in cities and government agencies. You know, our country, and you mentioned that we have a nation of wimps. It's a nation of litigious, tort-crazy people looking for their opportunity for a disability claim. And I'm going to tell you that I think, goes a lot behind the decisions to overreact in these kinds of situations, because God forbid somebody should slip and skin their knee, and they weren't evacuated, or the business decided to run, they decided not to shut down that government agency or office, I think they would have a lot of cost and expense on that end on their hands.
Oh, Andrew, you nailed it. I mean, this is you couldn't have nailed it even better. I mean, this to me so far is the call of the day. This is exactly what my wife told me. She said, Jeff, you know why they're doing this? Fear of the trial lawyers. They're going to get sued. If something happens, they're going to get sued. And I go back now to the earthquake. I told you about, I told everyone about that neighbor across the street. Okay, older woman, she works the night shift. Weeping, crying on the steps after the earthquake. There she is being consoled by her family members, neighbors. Honestly, you'd think her whole family was slaughtered the way she was crying. And she's going on and this can't have happened. This shouldn't have happened. You know what she was saying? I'm giving you almost a verbatim quote. Earthquakes aren't supposed to happen in America. I shouldn't have felt this earthquake. Why weren't the foundations built stronger? Why weren't the walls built thicker? So it didn't shake. Why did it shake when there was an earthquake? I've been traumatized. So she hasn't been working now for about 72 hours. She went to see her doctor. He gave her a doctor's note. She now can claim a bit of compensation. She's psychologically traumatized. She actually endured an earthquake. And now she's thinking of suing the homeowners association and the construction company that built the home. Why? Because the house moved. 5.8 magnitude earthquake. Why did the house move? This is modern day America. The lawyers have taken over everything. So you're right. If I'm a governor, I'm sitting back saying, well, hey, if we don't evacuate parts of Maryland or New Jersey or New York, oh, my God. And somebody actually falls or somebody actually has a roof collapse, probably because they weren't even taking care of their house. But it doesn't matter. The roof collapses because of too much water or whatever or wind. We're going to be sued. Everybody's going to be sued. This is going to be litigation heaven. It's going to be lawsuit heaven. Our founding fathers told us that the key to our freedom and the key to America remaining the greatest republic in the world was if we continued to be a nation based on the rule of law. Rule of law. What has happened in America, it has become the rule of lawyers. The rule of law has been replaced by the rule of lawyers. And that is what's destroying America. It's destroying our business. It's destroying our economy. It's destroying our healthcare. It's even destroying our common sense. We are now petrified of trial lawyers. And I ask you, when did we allow the lawyers to take over our country? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The conditions here continue to deteriorate in a big way. The waves are crashing up against the seawall. It's developing this foam that is riding over the top and starting to stick to all the hotels and buildings right along the boardwalk here. Excuse me, it's in my face as well, as you can imagine. It doesn't taste great.
Tucker Barnes from our sister station down in Washington, D.C., live for us from Ocean City. Be careful with that weird stuff, okay?
I know, it's like a Nickelodeon show where it's got
whoa,
slime.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Thanks,
oh.
Guys.
Oh, oh man. Wow, look at that water coming up over the seawall.
Yeah.
You better get out of there.
Now, hey, Tucker, is that...
Thanks, guys.
That seems... It's more foam than water, right?
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I don't know how these reporters survived it. It's like the attack of the blob. It's like a bad 50s science fiction movie. The blob, the white foam, it came from the water driven by Hurricane Irene. And now it started to spread over seawalls and it's attacking humans in the United States. But then our dear leader emerged, the president, Obama. He cut his vacation short by one day and he rescued us. Incredible. With Michelle. Michelle along with him. She stopped shopping. Obama said, please, can you stop shopping? And she said, okay. Let them eat cake. I won't buy any more shoes, any more designer dresses. No more $10 million vacations. I'm going to come with you. And together they took control of Hurricane Command Center and saved us. And that's it. Here you go. That's the story. We're saved. And we're so grateful to have a guy like Obama as our president. You know, my wife actually called me up during the break. I swear I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. She thinks I'm overdoing it. She actually thinks that the media didn't overhype the story. She actually says, you know, I felt they did a good job. I felt that they had to take these necessary precautions. And why are you blaming the media? Because they just did their job in warning the American people. And I don't know, is this a male-female thing? I don't know. I mean, do somehow men feel that it's not the role of the government to be the nanny state and to absolutely coddle us and frighten us into a public hysteria? Or do women feel that somehow they need to be protected from the elements, even by the government? I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. Stephen in South Carolina on line 10, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you. I want to say that meteorology is not an exact science, and therefore meteorologists can only give us an educated guess based upon what the computers project. However, what the computers project and what Mother Nature does can be two totally different things. Now, you say that the media overhyped the situation. I say that they're doing no more than you and Dr. Savage do all the time. That is tell half-truths. Now, people...
Oh, come on. I mean, come on. Is that the best you can do, tell half-truths? They told us this was going to be a Category 2, Category 3 hurricane, and it ended up being a tropical storm. They were wrong. And the media has egg on their face. Obama has egg on their face. And frankly, all of these governors, led by the mayor of New York, Bloomberg, has egg on their face. They were wrong, and you know it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, I want to thank you for the incredible opportunity of filling in for you tonight. And more than that, on a personal note, I received a pre-publication copy of your upcoming novel, which will be published, I believe, on September 13th, Abuse of Power. I have been reading it. In fact, I've been devouring it. And I just want to give a little secret to the listeners. Take it from me. It is an absolute page-turner. I'm talking a real delicious read. And about the middle of the novel, man, does this thing start kicking into high gear. You cannot put it down. And this is not just one hell of a story. This is not just a novel with a fabulous plot line and with a lot of drama and tension throughout. This is also, in many ways, literature. It is the culmination, in some ways, of Dr. Savage's experience, his knowledge, and his expertise on world politics, on the great game that goes on between the nations of the world, especially the superpowers and the great powers of the world, and about some of the looming security threats that we face. It is one hell of a read. And I got to tell you, when it comes out on September 13, you want a nice gift? You want to really treat yourself to one hell of a weekend? Go out and buy the book. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest must-read sizzling stories. There's one in particular. I alluded to it earlier, but I really want to highlight it. Tony Blair's sister-in-law, Laura Booth, was recently at a major rally, an anti-Israel rally in London. Now, Laura Booth is the sister-in-law of one of the most consequential and important prime ministers ever in British history. Whatever you think of Tony Blair's politics, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think much of him. He's a Labour man. He's in many ways a leftist and a socialist. And I believe he has helped to destroy Great Britain. But leave that aside. He ruled Britain for over 10 years. He was elected. He won re-election with some sizable majorities. He changed British politics for years and maybe decades to come. He is a man who has made his mark on British life and British history. His sister-in-law has been out in radio interview after radio interview. She has been out on media show and talk show after talk show. And at that rally, she called for the destruction of the Jewish state. She called for Lebanon, led by Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the Islamists in Jordan, and the growing, gathering radical Islam forces across the Middle East to capture and conquer what the Muslims call, quote, Al-Quds, which is their term for Jerusalem. She is calling for a holy war against the Jews and against Israel. And when you go to michaelsavage.com, story is Blair's sister-in-law incites Muslims to, quote, liberate, unquote, Jerusalem. I want all of you to look at the picture. Because that picture, you know the expression, a picture tells a thousand words? Look at that picture. You see many of them, they obviously look like Muslims, British Muslims. At Trafalgar Square, center of London, a boy is holding up a sign. For world peace, Israel must be destroyed. And destroyed is in red, blood, the color of blood. And someone beside him, an older man, I assume his father, but whoever it is, an adult beside him, says, Israel, your days are numbered. This is the kind of speech. These are the kind of signs. Frankly, these are the kinds of sermons that you hear from not dozens, but hundreds of Muslim clerics and imams all throughout London, all throughout England. They are calling for an Islamic caliphate and a Muslim holy war against England, against the Jews, and against the West. Is their speech banned? Are they censored? Tell me, does the British government go after them for, quote, inciting inter-ethnic and inter-community tensions, quote unquote, as they said about Dr. Savage? So let me get this straight. Dr. Savage is persona non grata in England. You're not wanted. You're banned. Don't come here. But Laura Booth, she's idolized. But those protesters and those people holding those signs, they're welcome. That kind of speech is permissible. But the defense of the West, criticism of radical Islam, the defense of our Judeo-Christian heritage, that is not permitted. This is the new Europe. This is the politically correct Europe. This is the logical culmination of liberalism. It is the ideology and culture of suicide. They would rather kowtow and be killed by Islamists than stand up to them. And the one man who has the guts to speak out against them, that's the person they ban. The person who tells the truth, that's the one who's banned. But the hater, those that champion mass murder, those that are anti-Semitic to the bone, those that call for the annihilation of the Jews, you're welcome. You're loved. You're a celebrity. Here is Laura Booth. I didn't want you to take my word for it. Here is Blair's own sister-in-law, converted to Islam. And as she says, when she gives an interview at a speech, at a rally,
We are all opposed to Israel. When Israel kills one Muslim or one Palestinian, he kills all of us. And all of us are now Palestinians. All of us are now waging an intifada and a jihad against the Jews and against the Zionist state. Boys, roll the clip.
Today, I tell you, when Israel kills a Gazan child, they kill my child. When Israel kills a mother from Gaza, they kill my mother. And when they kill the elderly, and when they kill children, and when they bomb homes, they bomb our homes. Our message today to Israel is clear. We are all Palestinian now. We want you to know, we, the British people here today, don't want your ambassador here. Go! Get out! You're a disgrace!
Go. Get out. Jews, go home. Don't even go to Israel. Get lost. Go where we don't have to even see you anymore. My language of Hitler. That is the language of the new Nazism. That is the language of the new Islamofascism that the liberal cowards in England and in America are afraid to name. They cower at Hurricane Irene. Oh, oh, Hurricane Irene scares them. A 5.8 earthquake scares them. But when it comes to radical Islam, look how quiet they are. And what I find remarkable is everybody is now blasting Governor Rick Perry. Have you noticed this? Oh, Ben Bernanke, because he wants to print money maybe between now and the next election. Perry comes out and says like a patriot, well, that's almost treasonous. How could you destroy the value of our dollar? That's irresponsible. Oh, Perry's got a popping off problem. Bad judgment. Oh, my God. He's stupid. He's reckless. He's a fanatic. He's an extremist. How could you say that? How could you criticize Ben Bernanke? How could you criticize the Fed chairman? Oh, my God. But they don't speak out against Laura Booth. They don't speak out against any of these radical Islamists. Then they're quiet. That's not irresponsible. That's not inflammatory. That's not reckless. No, 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 no. God forbid we should criticize Laura Booth or offend the Muslim lobby. You'll have the Council of American Islamic Relations calling that Islamophobia. How dare you criticize that? When I look at the present political landscape, we are in 1938. That's what this is. And what has Obama done? What was the really big story with all this hysteria about Hurricane Irene? Did you notice? The big story was neglected deliberately by the mainstream media. And what was that? The fall of Libya to the Islamists. Another victory in their global jihad. Don't get me wrong. I'm no fan of Muammar Gaddafi. I don't give a damn for dictators. Certainly dictators who killed Americans in Lockerbie, Scotland with Pan Am Flight 103. Certainly dictators who killed and bombed, killed Americans when they bombed discotheques in West Germany. I don't give a damn for a crook and a thug like Muammar Gaddafi. But what comes after him? Nobody asks that question. When his regime is fully finished, and it's now literally in its last days, as the Islamists have now overrun Tripoli, and they now surround Gaddafi's compound and have overrun it, they're now searching for him. What comes after him? And what we are now finding out is many of those people in those ranks are Al-Qaeda. Many of those people in that so-called Arab Spring, so-called pro-democracy movement that Obama aided, that Obama trained, supported, and financed with our taxpayer dollars, that Obama used our jet airplanes and our missiles without approval or authorization from Congress. Those very same Islamists fought in Iraq and Afghanistan against our troops and killed American boys. They have American blood on their hands. Israel is now encircled. The fall of Libya is like what happened in Iran in 1979. Yes, a vicious dictator was overthrown, but what came in its place? An Islamic monster. And so now you have Israel surrounded by the Muslim Brotherhood, surrounded by Hezbollah, surrounded by the Palestinian jihadists in Gaza, and now encircled by Libya. And what is our con man in chief doing? Nothing. Nothing. Because I have been abandoned. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. My question to you is this. Why has Michael Savage been banned in Britain, but Laura Booth is allowed to spill her anti-Semitic vial? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. You know, what I find remarkable is, as Dr. Savage has so eloquently described Obama the destroyer, as he destroys our economy, as he destroys our foreign policy, as now amidst all that hype about Hurricane Irene, Libya fell to the Islamists. Have you noticed this man has been in power for nearly 3 years, and there is still so much about him we don't even know? Now there's the latest story that has just come out. Go to michaelsavage.com. It's right there. Now we find out good old Barry, Barack Obama, has a long-lost uncle, Uncle Omar. And his real name apparently is Onyango Obama. From Kenya, 67, an illegal immigrant, just like Obama's aunt, Aunt Zaituni. And this guy, Obama's long-lost uncle, Onyango, is driving out in Massachusetts, outside of Boston. Apparently he was tanked. Reports say that he was drunk, almost hit a police car. He then blames the officer for almost hitting the police car. They arrest him for DUI, and they find out he's an illegal immigrant. He fled Kenya decades ago. Apparently, there's even a picture of him up on a hut when Obama visited one of his step-grandmothers in Kenya years ago. There's a picture, and he refers to it in his book in 1995, his autobiography. Oh, there was an Uncle Omar. He just fled Africa and went to America. We don't know what happened to him. So we find out recently that he has an aunt who's living in some Boston public housing project. Now we find out he has a long-lost uncle, Onyango, and both of them are illegal immigrants. Both of them have been in this country illegally for decades. Not years, decades. And when it was found out about his aunt, what do you think happened? They legalized their status. No, you're no longer illegal. Since you're a relative of the president, no problem. Here it is. You're your papers. You have your papers. You can stay in America. I bet you Onyango Obama now getting drunk and nearly hitting a police officer was the best thing he ever did for himself, because they're going to legalize his status. He's in fact getting the same lawyer, the same shyster lawyer that his relative, the aunt, got, where she got legal status. That's how it is when you have a wannabe tin pot dictator in the White House. Now, even family members now can just come on in illegally. You get into an accident or something, or they find out about you, no problem. You get legal status. My friends, look at the joke he is turning this country into. And as all this is going on, what is he doing? He is now trying to pass amnesty through the back door. We will have that and so much more. Stay tuned. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the legend, Michael Savage.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 if you want to get in on the conversation. You know, as the media was trying to distract you with the non-hurricane Hurricane Irene story, as they were trying to frighten you and scare you and convince you that somehow Obama did a brilliant job in combating a non-hurricane, what happened over the last week? Libya fell to the Islamists. You now have radical Islam on the march in Europe. You have the economy continuing to tank. Now we find out that even Obama's relatives, Onyango, Aunt Zaytuna, the long-lost Uncle Omar, has now been discovered in Boston, living in this country for decades illegally. But while he was partying it up at Martha's Vineyard, as he's there gorging on shrimp, eating cherry vanilla ice cream, and golfing while America is burning, he did something of profound importance to you and to this nation. He issued an executive order halting almost all deportations of illegal aliens out of America. Why? Why did he do that? Because, my friends, he cares about one thing. As he's running around gorging and eating and going on that phony bus tour of his, when he's there in that million-dollar bus that was made in Canada, when he's out there partying it up on Martha's Vineyard, I'll tell you what he watches every day, and it's the only thing he watches, his poll numbers. And they have been dropping like a stone, and they are now at less than 40% approval, and they're going to continue to fall. And as he sees this, his advisors are telling him, Emperor, con man in chief, the anointed one, we have to start bribing constituents and buying votes. And so if you noticed, what has been now the change in the Democratic narrative? Suddenly now, everything is changing. Now, it's an executive order stopping most deportations, directly trying to cater to the Hispanic vote by saying we're not going to send illegals home. In other words, it's amnesty through the back door. They stay, they don't go. You then have the Black Caucus coming out. Congressman Elijah Cummings. Oh, many in the African-American community now say Obama's being untreated fairly because he's a black man. You then have Congresswoman Frederica Wilson saying, no, the Tea Party is driven by racism. The opposition to Obama, it's racist. You see, the reason why you people in conservative talk radio, the reason why middle America, the reason why many Americans are now turning on Obama is not because he's done a horrible job. No, God forbid. That's impossible. He's the Sun King. He can't do any wrong. It's because, you see, deep down, you're all a bunch of racists. That's why you're so tough on him. That's why you can't stand him. That's now the new line. Why? To demonize and demoralize and discredit the opposition. Essentially, to criminalize and delegitimize opposition to Obama. But more than that, it is old-style ethnic divide-and-conquer politics. Play to the Hispanic vote. Play to the minority vote. Play to the African-American vote. That's what this man is doing. And so, now he's getting his thugs out on the airwaves. He may be partying, but his people are now getting ready for re-election. And so he's getting his thugs out on the airwaves. And you want to talk about a thug? Here is a descendant of that notorious criminal, James Hoffa, who practically almost single-handedly destroyed the Teamsters Union. Here is now Jim Hoffa coming out and now telling. You want to talk about a union thug? Now he's telling, no. Obama's got to wipe out the Republicans. He's got to stop caving to Republicans on the debt ceiling and on repealing the Bush tax cuts. He's got to wipe them out like they do in Caracas, like they do in Venezuela, like they do in Castro. You got to wipe out your opposition. Boyce, play the Hoffa clip.
I think he's got to draw a line in the sand. I mean, he can't get rolled over again. He's got to sit down and say, look, it, and go to the American people. There's going to be an election in 12. And the answer is maybe we wipe these people out.
You don't show me no respect. You speak against the Godfather. You criticize the Godfather. Tonight, you sleep with the fishes. Rick Perry sleeps with the fishes.
My friends, this is what's taken over the Democratic Party. These are the gangsters. These are the thugs. They are trying to turn America essentially into a mafia state. And what they're now seeing is they are reading the handwriting on the wall. It has gotten so bad now for Obama that now, I said this weeks ago, if you remember, when I subbed for Michael Savage. It's not that I'm patting myself on the back. It's because I know what I'm talking about. I talk to Democratic operatives on Capitol Hill. I talk to people in the White House. I know what I'm talking about. I got sources all over the city. And I told you weeks ago, if the summer of our discontent continues, if you continue to see the economy plummet, if you continue to see the unemployment numbers look bad, if you continue to see the stock market melt, if Obama's numbers continue to fall, the Democrats will turn on him. They will have no choice but to turn on him. Because he is destroying not just America. He's not just destroying the middle class. He's destroying the Democratic Party. He's taken them down with him. And I said, you may see a Hillary challenge. Or it could be some other left winger. Russ Feingold, Dennis Kucinich, who knows? Somebody from the left. Bernie Sanders, the Vermont socialist, the independent from Vermont, said, no. We got to challenge Obama. Today, the latest polls show. Now, think of this. This is an incumbent president. This is a man who just 3 years ago was hailed as the new Caesar, as the new liberal messiah, as the new John F. Kennedy. 1 in 4 Democrats, 27%, say somebody other than Obama should be the Democratic nominee in 2012. They don't want their president to run in 2012. You know why? Because they see the tsunami that's coming. They see the landslide that's coming. They see how this guy is going to get wiped out of office and the Republicans are going to take everything. The House, the Senate, the White House, and with it, the Supreme Court. It's going to be a clean sweep. They're going to run the table. And so today, now the media senses blood in the water. Even now they sense, many of them, we backed the wrong horse in 08. Oh my God, this guy is so incompetent, we could lose our entire liberal regime. The whole liberal regime could come falling down. And now they are saying, will Hillary run? And this is the question that was posed to White House spokesman Jay Carney. And notice his answer. He cannot definitively say, when asked, well, is Hillary going to run? Can you tell us with absolute certainty that Hillary Clinton, your Secretary of State, Obama's Secretary of State, will not run in a primary? He says, no. I can't say anything. I don't know. Because we got to focus on the task at hand. Quote, jobs and the economy. Boys, roll the Carney clip.
Can you guarantee that, are you sure that Hillary is not going
to
run?
You'd have to ask her. We're fairly confident that we need to focus on the task at hand.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean to tell me the president's official spokesman, his press secretary, cannot give a guarantee that his own Secretary of State will not challenge him for the Democratic nomination? They are imploding right in front of our very eyes. He can't even categorically rule it out. My friends, he is now like a wounded shark. He is bleeding. And now these mafiosis, these liberal gangsters that run the Democratic Party, are now looking at him and saying, you know what? The Godfather may be not what we thought he was.
He doesn't inspire the same shock and awe. He may go down. And when he goes down, he's going to take all of us with him. This, my friends, was the real story happening as the media was trying to deflect you from what was going on with Hurricane Katrina. They were trying to somehow spin you to make you think that this was a serious storm, that Obama's a brilliant leader, when behind the scenes, the whole government is collapsing right around him. Bob in Kansas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, the hyping of the East Coast storm is really just a symptom of a soft and decadent country, and Marxist academics become the leader of such a country. And it's almost like it's 1938, except that Americans aren't the Americans of 1938, and only a real catastrophe could probably save the nation. It would to harden people up. They're
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, Bob, I agree with the first half. God forbid, I don't want a catastrophe to befall this country. We had one. It was 9/11. And we're having more of them. Because as the media is trying to distract you and scare you with phony non-hurricanes like Hurricane Irene, we have troops that are dying in Iraq. They are dying in Afghanistan, in fact, in record numbers. So we have a lot. Our economy is imploding. We have lost 2 million jobs under this president. This guy has been an absolute disaster from A to Z. And nothing is his fault. Have you noticed that with this guy? Nothing. Everything is someone else's fault. It's because the economy isn't recovering because of tsunamis in Japan, because of wars in the Middle East, because of earthquakes. Nothing is his fault. I'll bet you guys something right now. I'll bet anybody out there a steak dinner. I'll bet you the best steak dinner you want. I bet you it's going to take less than 72 hours now for him and his economic team to come out with his new phony economic advisor that he's just appointed. Okay, he's recycled this guy. They brought him in for them to say, oh no, because of Hurricane Irene, that's why the economy isn't recovering. You see, we were right there. We were right there. That's why he went on vacation in Martha's Vineyard. We were right there. It was all going to turn around. Jobs galore. Economic growth like we've never seen. But then the bloody hurricane hit. Irene hit the shore. And suddenly the recovery's finished. He's going to blame everybody but himself. But you nailed it. We are not the people that we were in 1938. That's the big difference. You see, that's what Savage understands. That's what conservative nationalists like myself understand. That the most destructive thing about a welfare state, it's not that it leads to bankruptcy. It's not that it doesn't work. It's not that it destroys economic growth. It's not even that it makes people dependent on government. The ultimate danger of the welfare state is moral. It's spiritual. It's why our founding fathers warned against it. Never become dependent or addicted to government, because it corrodes your soul. It turns you into a serf. It turns you not, you're no longer a citizen. You're no longer a free-born man or woman with all of your liberties and responsibilities that come with it. You are now a ward of the state. You're essentially a slave and you don't even know it. The government owns you. You become like a child. Look at us. We've been reduced to children. One dinky earthquake. They're crying. They're crying in Washington, D.C. My neighbor was sobbing, weeping. Like, you know, with her head on her forehead. Sorry, her forehead on her arm. Weeping. Like I swear, like her whole family just died. It was like a family funeral. It was like a wake. People are crying in D.C. I saw on the sidewalk. They're weeping. They're crying. My God, it's an earthquake. We got scared. Look at us. Hurricane Irene. Tropical storm. Yeah, it's a pandemonium. Pandemonium. Everybody. Things got to shut down. New York shuts down. Washington shuts down. Anderson Cooper's going crazy. Geraldo Rivera's going crazy. Everybody's going crazy. Tropical storm. Is this the America of 1938? People were hungry. I heard stories of the Great Depression. There was malnutrition. There was starvation. People were waiting in line in soup kitchens. There was no work. There was nothing. They saw a war happening in Europe after what they saw in World War I.
And look how courageous they were. They were Americans. They understood what it meant to have adversity in life and that it's adversity that builds character. It's what makes a nation. It's what makes you as an individual. Look at us now, groveling like a bunch of pathetic wimps. You want to know the truth? I swear to God, I told this to my wife, all right? I said, we should go to Ocean City and walk the beach. What's the matter with these people? We should be out there with the frisbee and the dogs and having a good time. What's the matter? Okay, high waves, who cares? And instead, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. My sister-in-law's calling. My sister's calling. My family's calling. Everybody's calling. It's the end of the world. We are no longer the nation that we once were. And you want to know why? No one else has the guts to say it. I will say it. We have abandoned God. We have abandoned our Judeo-Christian principles. We have abandoned our love for the Constitution, which is the greatest document God ever gave anybody. We have abandoned our love of freedom. We have abandoned our borders. We've abandoned our language. We've abandoned our culture. We've abandoned everything. This is what happens. This is what you get. That's the president you get when you abandon everything that made you great. Obama is the president that we deserve. And until we kick him out of office, things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane.
I think we're going to be talking about a tropical storm status at this point. I'm having a hard time even finding any hurricane force wind gusts. We've been seeing a couple 50, couple 60 mile per hour wind gusts, but haven't seen anything on the lines of hurricane strength in the last number of hours.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. If you want to read me at the Washington Times, just go to WashingtonTimes.com, punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. You can read my columns. They come out every week. Fernando in Chicago, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, my comment is about the media. This is the same people in the media who couldn't predict 5 days in advance what was going to happen with that hurricane or so-called hurricane. But yet, we are supposed to believe that they have the right prediction 20 or 30 years from now regarding global warming. Does it make any sense?
No, it makes no sense, Fernando. It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, they're telling us that the ice caps are melting, that the polar bears are disappearing, that we're going to be flooded. It's going to be worse than Hurricane Katrina. It's going to be worse than Hurricane Hugo, even worse than Hurricane Irene, because this apparently now is a storm of the century. Cities are going to be flooded. Islands are going to be flooded. The whole world's going to come to an end in 20 or 30 years. In fact, the New York Times was telling, already they're out saying, you know what their media narrative is? It was, guess what? Global warming that caused Hurricane Irene. That's already now the line of attack. Already now, this non-hurricane was caused by the myth of man-made global warming. It is a hoax. It is a fraud. And Fernando, here is what is the very sad conclusion. They're liars. The Democrats are liars. Obama is a liar. And many in the mainstream media have been revealed to be frauds and liars. They overhyped, overdramatized a situation for ratings and to cover up for their phony president. And you know it, and I know it, and all the American people know it. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Michael Savage.
going back to my early years in the South, when the Civil Rights Revolution was unfolding, my generation watched Bull Connor turning the hose on the civil rights demonstrators, and we went, whoa, how gross and evil is that? And my generation asked older people, explain to me again why it's okay to discriminate against people because their skin color is different. And when they couldn't really answer that question with integrity, the change really started.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, my friend, if you're listening, I just want to thank you one last time for the wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. All of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com. There is a couple of stories that are absolutely must read, but there's one in particular. If you go down more to the lower left-hand corner, Al Gore declares war on critics of global warming. And you knew it was coming, members of the Savage Nation. You knew it. With Hurricane Irene, the non-hurricane, it was caused by, you guessed it, global warming, climate change. Everything is now on the due to climate change. When it's cold, it's climate change. When it snows, it's climate change. When it rains, it's climate change. When it's a tornado, it's climate change. Hurricanes, tropical storms, everything is climate change. Any change in weather, it's global warming. So here you have Dirty Al. Big Al, he left the massage parlor. He's even heavier now than he was before. He keeps putting on weight. Every time I see him, I swear this guy's going to blow up one day. But there's Big Al. And now he has the audacity to compare climate change, global warming, to the civil rights movement. Can you believe this guy? And what I find remarkable about Dirty Al is here he is lecturing us about Bull Connor and says, you know, when we were young and we saw that racist thug Bull Connor unleash the dogs and the hoses and the water pressure hoses on those civil rights demonstrators, we asked our parents, we asked our older people, what's this discrimination thing all about? Tell me, Big Al, when your dad was a senator, when he was one of those good old boys, when he controlled the purse strings here in Congress with the Democratic Party, did you really challenge your dad? Because I got news for you, Dirty Al. Your dad was a big supporter of segregation. Your dad only turned against segregation and Jim Crow when he put his finger up in the wind and said, you know what? There's a prevailing change of opinion in America. And if I don't change, I'm going to go down. So it's not like you stood there and challenged your father. You never challenged your father. That's lie number one. But what's all this talk about racism? I don't understand. There's Hurricane Irene. There's global warming. What is all this leading to? I don't know. Guys, roll clip 13.
There came a time when racist comments would come up in the course of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And in years past, they would just, you know, it was just natural. There came a time when people said, hey, man, why do you talk that way? I mean, that's wrong. You know, I don't go for that. So don't talk that way around me.
Oh, so really, at your dinner table, I'm with your dad, with Al Gore Sr., really, you guys are having conversations, and suddenly, when Big Daddy was saying something offensive, no, don't talk like that around me, Daddy. Daddy, don't talk like that. So what? I don't understand. What's this opposition to racism, civil rights? What does this have to do with global warming? I don't. What are you leading to, Al? What are you getting at? Boys. Roll clip 14.
That happened in millions of conversations, and slowly the conversation mm-hmm. was won. And mm-hmm. we still have racism, God knows. But mm-hmm. it's so different now. Yeah. It's so much better. And we have to win mm-hmm. the conversation on climate.
Oh, Big Al, I get it now. So you're basically saying opposition to global warming is akin to opposition to the institutionalized racism and segregation of the Old South. Oh, we're just like Bull Connor. I get it. If you're a skeptic of global warming,
If you don't believe in climate change, you're a racist, just like Bull Connor. Oh, and the Ku Klux Klan and all the segregationists. I get it, Big Al. Can you believe how offensive, how intolerant, and frankly, how stupid that is? I have a column in last Friday's Washington Times. Came out, what, 3-4 days ago. And you can read it. It's still there. Just go to WashingtonTimes.com, KUHNER, just punch in my name. There was literally, you're going to say, Jeff, come on, you're exaggerating for rhetorical effect or comedic effect. I'm giving you verbatim what happened. This is not a joke. There was a report that was recently issued by NASA, a NASA-affiliated scientist. In fact, he was somebody at the Planetary Science Division of NASA, key scientist, along with researchers at Pennsylvania State University, scientists. And this report, again, this is too funny, too outrageous to be made up, looked at different possible scenarios if humans had contact with extraterrestrials. And they, in their report, said the most likely scenario is we will encounter space aliens. However, these space aliens are all going to be little green Al Gores, because they're going to look, they can tell at our atmospheric pressure from afar, literally from the galaxy, and they're going to say, we're burning up the planet. We're emitting so many greenhouse gases. There's such massive global warming. There's such massive pollution because we so have so much capitalism and so much industrial civilization here that literally we're destroying the environment. And so to defend other life forms, to defend other planets, I swear to you, I could not make this up if I wanted to. Martians are going to invade and wipe out humanity to save the galaxy from human beings. Little Al Gores are going to descend upon planet Earth, all of them, and they're going to literally kill every human being. This is one of the likely scenarios. So we have to curtail economic growth. We have to impose cap and trade. We have to impose heavy, heavy regulations on businesses. We have to literally destroy the free market system in order to save Earth from an alien invasion. This is what the so-called radical green movement has come down to. And what is to me stunning, this is almost Soviet-style propaganda, is the reality is the exact opposite. This is what's amazing. Man-made global warming, the so-called theory of climate change, has been the greatest scientific fraud and hoax of our time. Global temperatures are cooling. They're not warming. That's a lie. For the last 10 years, global temperatures have cooled. The ice caps are not melting. In fact, there's even more. They're growing. They're freezing. There are more ice caps. They're growing bigger. The polar bear population. Remember Al Gore came out? The polar bears are going to disappear. Look at these cuddly polar bears. How can we lose these polar bears? Look at it. They're like little teddy bears. They're all going to be gone because they're all going to literally fall into the ocean because all the ice is melting. They're dwindling. They're disappearing. They're growing. The polar bear population is proliferating. Ocean levels, they're not rising. They've stabilized. Everything they have said has been an utter lie and disproven by scientific empirical data. Everything. We've even found out even more. Through one scandal after another, they have deliberately abused the information. They have misled the public. They have manipulated the data. Why? Why is Al Gore now having to compare opponents of global warming to the most disgusting, vile, racist thugs? Why? Why did a couple of weeks ago, when he was at the Aspen Institute, did he deliver a speech laced with the F-bomb, laced with profanity? He was talking like some kind of a street rapper thug. Why? Because they see their entire theory evaporating into thin air. They have been exposed for the frauds and the hucksters and the charlatans that they are. But the dirty little secret, members of the Savage Nation, is this. Al Gore, George Soros, the entire Green Movement has tens of millions of dollars invested in the climate warming fraud. Al Gore personally is invested in the millions in green hedge funds. He's going to make out like a bandit on international carbon trading system on cap and trade. He's got huge financial interests at stake. He's going to make out literally like a bandit. He's going to make potentially tens of millions of dollars. So for him, global warming must never be disproven. And so Hurricane Irene, global warming. Oh, you oppose global warming, racist, Bull Connor, flat earther, you're like a Holocaust denier. And my question to Americans is this. When are you going to say enough is enough? They are politicizing our weather. They are politicizing science. They are politicizing every aspect of life, not because they care about social justice. Al Gore doesn't give a damn about social justice. He doesn't care about the environment. What he cares about is lining his pockets. And the way to line his pockets is to get massive government subsidies and to have cap and trade imposed so he and his hedge fund and George Soros buddies can make tens of millions of dollars. You know what he is? He's an old style con man. And now the con is up. And so the question I have for you is a simple one. Are you offended that Al Gore has compared the opponents of global warming to Bull Connor and the racists of the South? 1-800-449-8255. Has Dirty Al gone too far? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
I think this will be the storm of our lifetimes. The odds are just increasing. We don't see any way to avoid an absolutely extreme event, a hurricane that we have not seen in a couple of centuries along the East Coast. I cannot say strongly enough that all action is required.
It's still a big storm by all accounts, even with a little bit of weakening. It is still a very large storm.
We've been hearing reports tonight of people saying that the storm was not as bad as it could have been. That may be true.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation, michaelsavage.com. Go to michaelsavage.com. My friends, you know, we've been talking about how the media has overhyped global warming. Now they're telling us that global warming caused the non-hurricane, Hurricane Irene. They overhyped Obama, and they clearly overhyped what turned out to be nothing more than a tropical storm. But as they have overhyped everything, including the storm or the non-storm, there was one man who was right on global warming. He was dead right about Obama, and he nailed to a T what occurred last week and what was going to happen. And that was Dr. Michael Savage. When everybody else was panicking, when everybody else was saying run for the hills, when everybody else was saying it's going to be like another Hurricane Katrina, there was one man, only talk show host, the only man in the media who had the guts to call it the way it is. Boys, roll the clip of Dr. Savage.
Again, the storm, every minute the storm. It's already losing power already. Veering off to sea. I mean, let's hope it veers off to sea. Doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong, but what's the hysteria again? I've been in America many decades. I remember hurricanes, storms, tornadoes. I have never seen such hysteria in my life. Every second, another moron telling us they're going to close this down, close that down, stay home, don't go to work. My father used to go to work with 4-foot drifts. Somehow he'd get into Manhattan and go to work. If he couldn't take his car, he took the subway. Now the idiot closed the subway. He went to work. He had to go to work. There was no government sending him a paycheck. If he didn't go to work and open his little store, there was no money coming in. And we wouldn't have eaten. Wouldn't have paid the mortgage. Wouldn't have kept the junior in school. But no, not today. Everything closed down in the ninny state. Well, look at the shore they're showing on Fox. They're perfectly calm. You could walk on the beach with your girlfriend and a dog. You could throw a frisbee on the beach now. But they're showing it as though a storm just hit. I never saw anything like this. Insanity.
I mean, he nailed it. It was absolute insanity. We have lost all common sense. And so, to me, let me tell you who the biggest loser here is. The biggest loser is the mainstream media, because they have been revealed once again to be in the tank for Obama. They try to dramatically and ridiculously overhype a non-hurricane, non-storm. Why? So now they can present this guy as some kind of a great statesman who now can take over a hurricane command center and somehow lead us out of Noah's Ark? My friends, we have met the enemy, and they are the liberals, and they are their mandarins in the media. And it's about time we said no to global warming, no to Obama, and most importantly, no to the politicization of weather and the fiasco that we just saw over the weekend. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage.
You get a huge, strong hurricane, and the backside is just as bad as the front side, or even worse. The backside of this thing had a lot of air, dry air into it, and weakened fairly rapidly. So that's why we're enjoying a fairly tranquil afternoon.
All indications point to this being a historic hurricane.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Louie in Houston, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Welcome. It's my pleasure talking to you guys. But I'm going to tell you, I am sick and tired of this mentality of that you have to, that the government does everything for you. And I'm going to tell you, they are destroying not only that. Our children are being manipulated with a stupid cell phone. They're not paying attention to school. And it's going to make it harder for us when we get those young men in our military to train them. And they are undermining our military. I don't like what is going on in this country. And I was born in Puerto Rico. And I tell you what, if these people around don't wake up, we're going to lose this nation.
You nailed it, Louis. And thank you for that call. We're losing our nation. We are in the midst of losing our nation. We can no longer enforce our borders. We can no longer win our wars. I mean, here you have Dick Cheney as an example. Here's the former vice president, all right? Top guy on Halliburton. Big oil guy, big corporate Republican, Bush's top man. Forget Karl Rove. Cheney was the intellectual mastermind behind George Bush. He now has a new book out, his memoir about his years in power with Bush. Here is what George Will, the conservative columnist on ABC's This Week, had to say about Dick Cheney. Boys, roll the clip.
565 pages and a simple apology would have been in order in some of them, which is to say, the great fact of those 8 years was we went to war, big war, costly war, under false pretenses. And to write a memoir in which you say essentially nothing seriously went wrong, if I wrote a memoir of my last week, I would have things to apologize for.
Bingo. I mean, he nailed it. I don't always agree with George Will, but on this one, he nailed it. Here you had a Republican administration. Did they defend our borders? No. They took us to Iraq. They toppled that fascist strongman. And then they embarked upon nation building. We have plunked over $1 trillion in the Middle East. You combine Iraq and Afghanistan. We're not winning in Iraq. We're not winning in Afghanistan. You go to michaelsavage.com. What is another story the media is not telling you, in fact, lying to you about? They lied to you about Iraq. Apparently, Saddam had weapons of mass destruction up and down Iraq. That was a lie. The media lied to you, just like they lied to you about Hurricane Irene, just as they lied to you about Obama, just as they lied to you about global warming. So now, What about Libya? Gaddafi has fallen. What a statesman Obama is. Whoa, what a brilliant commander-in-chief. Well, go to michaelsavage.com. This story, I'll tell you this, that what Dr. Savage rightly calls the government media complex, they're not telling you this. We now know the Libyan rebels have been aided and funded and financed by the Hitler of our time, Iran, by Ahmadinejad. The Iranians are bankrolling the Islamist movement in Libya. They are now encircling Israel. They're now encircling the Jews. So they've lied about Libya. They've lied about Iran. They lied about Iraq. They've lied about Afghanistan. They keep telling us we're winning in Afghanistan. We're not winning in Afghanistan. What are these people talking about? So we, the great United States, we were once the most feared superpower in the world. We can't even win a lousy war anymore. We can't even balance our budgets. We can't even police our borders. Hell, look how we overreact to a lousy, dinky non-storm. We are losing our country. This is not the nation that defeated the British. This is not the nation that won a civil war. This is not the nation that stormed the beaches of Normandy and defeated the greatest totalitarian power that ever existed, Hitler's Germany. Look at us now. We are a shadow of our former selves. And rather than acknowledging the obvious, what do? The few dissenting voices, the few people, the few true dissidents left in liberal socialist America. Well, Savage is banned in Britain. People don't even want to acknowledge that he exists. When I fill in for him, I get attacked. Why do I fill in for him? They try to marginalize and ostracize and delegitimize the only nationalists and patriots in the media left. That's what this country has been. That's exactly what's destroying this country. You want to know, Louis, why we're losing our character, why we're losing our nation? Because we've lost our patriotism. We have been betrayed by a fifth column in Washington and in New York. The name of our enemy is liberalism, and it is destroying us on every front. Let's go to Lotel in Florida. Lotel, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Ms. Kerr?
I'm good. How are you, Lotel?
Okay, yeah, let me tell you something. These people up in North Carolina, you know, they probably went through some Hurricane Flora. I've been through two of them. I went through the worst one I actually went through was Hurricane Andrew. I was living in Homestead. It looked like a bomb hit it the next morning. It blew the roof off my house. We had nothing. We had to just leave. And then I ended up selling my property down there. We bulldozed the house down. And I moved to Louisiana. And when I was in the lower ninth ward, and Hurricane Katrina come in there, and we got flooded out. These people up there in South Carolina, North Carolina, New York, Jersey.
That was nothing. That was a rainstorm. Lotel, look, you nailed it. What you're basically saying is you've seen real hurricanes, you've experienced real hurricanes, and this was a joke. Compared to other hurricanes, this was an absolute non-hurricane. It was a joke, and you nailed it. Because I've seen the damage of real hurricanes. You're exactly right. It's like a bomb hit the place. It's like the Air Force carpet bombed the place. Homes are destroyed. You see real flooding. You see real dead people. I mean, literally, things are wasted. They're destroyed right in front of you. This was a heavy shower. That's what this was. There's Geraldo Rivera in New York City. There he is in the middle of New York City and saying, oh, we're in the eye of the storm now. We're in the eye of the storm. It's raining, for God's sakes. I don't even think the idiot had an umbrella on. But there with his trench coat. The eye of the storm. The eye of the storm. I mean, this to me is unbelievable, the way the media overhyped this story. They overhype everything now because they're desperate to try to prop up that man in the White House. They know it. Notice, oh my God, Hurricane Irene. They're already comparing it to Katrina. Already now. No, it's like Hurricane Katrina. But look how the president responded. What leadership. He cut his vacation short by 24 hours. They pulled him away from the shrimp table. They pulled him away from the lobster table. They brought him back. Oh, my God, he went to Hurricane Command Center. What leadership? He spoke to FEMA. They were there every step of the way. Every step of the way. They even gave out umbrellas. Hey, it's a little too rainy for you. Here's an umbrella. I mean, to me, it's unbelievable. What the fraud that's being perpetrated upon the American people. They don't know what a hurricane is. This was a tropical storm. So you've been lied to. You were lied to by your president. You were lied to by many of your governors. You were lied to by that shyster in New York, Mayor Bloomberg, to me, who's one of the biggest liars I've ever seen in my life. And you were lied to by many in the mainstream media. So I don't want to beat a dead horse. But again, I have to ask myself, when there's a real crisis, when there's a next one, the big hurricane, what's going to happen? Who's going to listen? Who's going to trust them? A culture of mendacity, a culture of lies, breeds distrust. It slowly dissolves and destroys a country. That's what's happening to us. We are being destroyed from within. And that's why we should say, no, you lied to us, and you need to be held accountable. Let's go to Lee in Washington, D.C. Lee, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Yes, it is.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Lee?
Just fine. I've had a house in Cape Hatteras for 10 years, and I was left at the list at the last minute. The reason that you leave, because Highway 12, which is the only road down there, gets washed.
But I think, look, essentially what your point is, because I can see the screen, is there was complete hype on the hurricane, and you're right. I mean, that's, look, we all know that now. And so now the question is, where do we go from here? And I think what we need to do is very simple. We have to say, stop lying to the American public. Stop politicizing everything. What is no longer politicized? Sports is politicized. Now on ESPN, if you criticize President Obama, they now you're either going to get fired or reprimanded. Okay, so we can't criticize Obama anymore. You can't Twitter. You can't even send an email criticizing the president. Okay, we can't do that. Science? No. You got to be in the tank for global warming, even though the scientific evidence is overwhelmingly refuting it. Doesn't matter. You got to be in the tank for it. And now, God forbid, you're some guy on a weather channel and you say, "Hey, I'm looking at this. This is nothing. Category 3, now category 2, now category 1. This is nothing." Don't say that. Because Mayor Michael Bloomberg has to look heroic. Obama has to look heroic. Chris Christie has to look heroic. Everybody now has to look heroic. There's no longer any patriots among us. And then look at the Republican field. I mean, look what the Republicans are now offering us. So now we have Cheney on his phony book tour, as if he didn't make enough money in his life. Now, no, 500 pages, he was right. They were right on everything. They were right on amnesty, he was right. Iraq, we were right. Afghanistan, we were right. We're right. We're right on everything. Even though it was Bush and Cheney that laid the groundwork for Obama. No Bush and Cheney, no Obama. Obama would have never won in 2008 had it not been for the carnage done to the Republican Party by Bush and Cheney. So this is what we're left with. We're left with a liberal regime and a phony opposition. And if you have any genuine patriots or any nationalists, you're demonized and ostracized in the mainstream media. Welcome to modern day America. It's the USS of A. So I don't know when American patriots are finally going to stand up and say, look, we don't want your new world order. We don't want your post-Christian, secular, socialist America. We want our country back, and we want it now. Mike in Michigan, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, that's what liberal, progressive communists do. They lie, prop up all these hysterias. I seen it in 76 in California, gas lines, people running each other over, saying gas is going to run out. But that's what liberals do. They want the money, and they get everybody dependent on the state, the little nanny states, and they'll dole out the money as they see fit. It's sickening. I'm a veteran. I took the oath to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and the fight is here now, not overseas.
You know, Mike, you nailed it. And I got to, you know what, and just because you're, you know, listen, I get this complaint from veterans all the time. I fought for this country. I sacrificed for this country. This is what veterans tell me all the time. How can the American people allow ourselves to just fritter away, squander our freedoms? And did you notice when Rick Perry, not that I'm endorsing Rick Perry, believe me, Rick Perry has problems on amnesty, on aid to intuition aid for illegal immigrants, on a NAFTA superhighway. Believe me, I'm not a big fan of Rick Perry. I like Rick Perry on some aspects. I think he's been very good on the budget, very good on the economy, very good on jobs in Texas. He'll be an infinitely better president than Obama. But I am not a globalist. I am not a free trader. I am a nationalist. And so I believe that there are problems with the Perry candidacy. However, to be fair, here you have a straight talking Texan who's just saying it as it is. And he goes out and says, you know, I think it's time that the American people have somebody who's worn the uniform like I have in the Air Force for 5 years as president of the United States. How dare he say that? And then the reporters ask him, are you questioning Obama's patriotism? And he says, well, ask him. You ask him if he loves this country. Because I'll tell you what the answer is. If Obama had the guts to be honest, because Michelle already gave the answer in 2008 when she was campaigning. Remember, this is after Obama made a ton of money. This is after she made a ton of money as a corporate lawyer, as a shyster lawyer. This is the first time I'm proud of my country. They hold it in contempt. If Obama is honest, he would say, you know what? I don't give a damn for the United States. I came here to party. I came here to plunder. I came here to make myself rich and famous. I came here to be a celebrity. And I don't give a damn for America or the American people. If he actually said that, I'd respect him because at least he'd be honest. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on a Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. That was the esteemed Laura Booth, sister-in-law of British Prime Minister, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, essentially calling for a jihad against Israel. You go to michaelsavage.com and you will see that she again calls for radical Islam to, quote, liberate Jerusalem, meaning conquer Jerusalem and drive the Jews into the sea. So she is acceptable in England. She is lionized in England. She's glorified in England, this anti-Semitic, hateful, left-wing propagandist. That's no problem for the British government. But Michael Savage, he's banned. Michael bad. Michael Savage is bad. Laura Booth is good. This is the world that we live in. What can you do? Pete, Corpus Christi, Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, you were talking about, we need to be a straight shooter. You're talking about Perry, and I'm down here in Texas. We need a straight shooter. And there's a common saying called fence riders. That's one thing that he's not, is a fence rider. Now, he might not fall on the side of your fence. He might fall on the other side, but at least you know where he stands. That's the problem. We got so many people in the government now that they all sit on the fence to see what society wants them to do. And that's the way they ride, and that's the reason we're in the damn shape we're in.
Bingo. No, you nailed it, Pete. And I think that's what's propelled him to the top of the Republican field. He's now opened up a big lead on Romney. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Romney's people have already said that they're not even going to attack Perry. Why? Because they said the mainstream media is. Their Democratic allies in the mainstream media
are going to eviscerate Rick Perry. They are going to nitpick every word. They are going to call him stupid. They're going to call him uncultured. They're going to call him a reckless cowboy. They're going to compare him to George Bush. And so Romney's saying, I'm just going to sit back and let the Democrats do my dirty work for me. And so they're going to try to perpetuate another fraud upon the American people. This one being that Perry is incompetent when he isn't. I mean, like I said, he's not my type of Republican. I don't agree with him on every issue, but I will tell you this. He's done a hell of a lot better job in Texas than Obama has done with the economy. Perry has been excellent on jobs, excellent on economic growth, and excellent on government spending. And that's the problem right now. And that's why I believe the more the media attacks him, the stronger he's going to get. He is Obama's worst nightmare. You heard it here first. I believe Perry will win the nomination, and in 2012, he will crush Obama. That's my prediction. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Savage.